should have a pretty fun Tuesday show for you. Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Baseball Today. It's June 26th. It's Adam and Kreith, Adam Azer, Heath Cummings, and Chris Towers. Chris with an important addition to his roster. Chris, who did you add recently?
So when Heath and I were in Minneapolis last week for the Fantasy Sports Trade Association conference, I got a frantic phone call from my wife about noon on Wednesday saying that she found a kitten at work. And I was like, okay, we'll discuss whether we're going to keep this kitten. But we both knew we were going to be keeping that kitten.
Oh, and
we got a new kitten.
Are you going to show us? Are you going to show us the cat on camera here?
I no, because we're keeping her in the bathroom for now, because we don't want her and the other animals to you know, they need time.
Question.
Cats are very yeah. Yes, Heath.
Do you think that the little girl who lost her kitten has stopped crying?
These are feral kittens. We have them at the office at CBS as well. There are lots of cats around, and this kitten was very much a homeless cat. It has not stopped eating in the 6 days that we got it. So,
all right. Well, congratulations.
Excuse me, sir. Thank you.
Meow to you, and that is very exciting. And also, Blake Snell is very exciting, but Gio Gonzalez is not exciting, and neither is Gary Sanchez, who for the second straight year is going to miss about a month, and he still managed to finish, I think he was the number one catcher in Roto, not in points last year. We can go and confirm that. Gary Sanchez, that is. I guess we can talk some catcher replacements right now. Let's start with our email of the day. We do have a lot of emails later, and we also have teaching song. He says teacher. It counts.
Oh, yeah, no, this is a weird song, man.
Well, he's a teacher. So
he's a very bad teacher.
He is not doing the right thing.
Should not be allowed to continue teaching.
Not doing the right thing. This is Grade the Trade Day. So Tuesday is Team Name Tuesday and also Grade the Trade. Email of the day is from Nick in New Jersey. Our email address, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. One, Blake Snell is amazing. Thank you for highlighting him during the preseason. He has far and away lived up to the hype. Two, where does Blake Snell rank with Bauer and Berries? And where would you rank those guys in a dynasty keeper setting? Probably an autocorrect on Berrios, just a guess. Where does Snell rank with Bauer and Berrios? And three, I was thrilled that Snell got to avoid the Yankees Sunday. The Yankees lineup is absolutely ridiculous against lefties. How many lefties do you start with confidence against the Yankees? Sale, then ... question mark. So one, yeah, Blake Snell's amazing. First of all, I wanted to give you guys credit. I think you deserve it every now and then. Blake Snell was probably the best call that we made on this podcast, so good job, guys. Two, where does Snell rank with Bauer and Berries, or Berrios?
I have Blake Snell currently at number 18 at starting pitcher. I have Trevor Bauer at number 19, and I have Jose Berrios at number 21.
That sounds about right.
Okay, good. Can you repeat that one more time, Heath?
I have Snell at 18, Bauer at 19, Berrios at 21. And as far as the lefties against the Yankees, like obviously Sale, I would still like start with confidence. I don't know what that really means. I'm starting him or I'm not. I'm starting James Paxton. I'm starting Clayton Kershaw. I'd start Madison Bumgarner against them. I'd start Blake Snell against
them. Now, you know what just happened to James Paxton. Just had a very bad start at the Yankees.
Right. I would, if they face the Yankees tomorrow, I would start him.
Yeah. I do think that, it's going to be a pretty interesting call with David Price on Sunday night at Yankee Stadium. Cause, you know, he's been very good lately. He'll have a start probably today. If that's a good start, you know, are you going to trust him Sunday night at the Yankees, a team that really destroys him typically?
Well, with that being a Sunday night start, it's a pretty, like, anybody that had him for a two-start week this week started him, obviously. So if it's just a daily league, the nice thing is that's a Sunday night start. Everything else has happened. You can very easily look and see if you need to start him or not.
Let's talk about something here. You say, Heath, you don't know what that means, start with confidence. You know right. What that means. Come on, we all know what that means. There are a lot of guys that I start and don't have that much confidence in, but I have to start them. And there are guys that I start and I feel very confident about it.
Yeah, when I set my lineup, there's no confidence-o-meter. There should be. I am just setting my lineup.
No, that's not true.
It's a binary thing, you know?
He's a liar. You're
start
a liar.
Start or sit.
You're a liar, because there are different levels of start. Why are you lying?
There is. The level is
my
this guy better
have
than
that setting, Adam?
No. Is this player better than my other options? Yes,
yeah,
I will
but,
start him.
But you don't get nervous about some of the guys you start?
I don't feel nerves, Adam.
All right. You're a better man than I am.
Obviously.
We do that. hey, Chris, you want to tell us about our awesome newsletters?
Yeah, you should sign up for our newsletters. CBSSports.com/newsletters, I believe, is the URL. You go to that. You can sign up for the Fantasy Football Today newsletter, the Fantasy Baseball Today newsletter, the HQ Daily newsletter, the Pick 6 Podcast newsletter, and what you'll get is all of our latest content. So the Fantasy Football Podcast newsletter, you've been getting all of Heath's team previews over the last week, and then we're going to start branching out into some of our other offseason content, fantasy baseball. You'll get the week preview Monday morning. You'll get the latest stuff on Wednesday and Friday. It's great, delivered right to your inbox. You literally don't have to do any work. You just click.
CBSSports.com/FBTDaily is the specific URL if you want the Fantasy Baseball Today newsletter. CBSSports.com/FBTDaily. One more thing to promote, CBS Sports HQ. If you are not watching that, you are making a big mistake. It is the best type of sports coverage that you can get. It is just sport. It's live video streaming on the CBS Sports app. I watch it on my Roku. You can watch it on Amazon Fire, on Apple TV, on your laptop if you want, CBSSportsHQ.com, or desktop if you have that. But it's just sports. It scores, news, and highlights. It's the sports coverage we grew up with, basically. It's old school. It's simple. It's got great analysis, smart analysis. We're trying to differentiate ourselves, and we've done a great job. So please check out CBS Sports HQ on the CBS Sports app. All right, Blake Snell was great. The guy he opposed was terrible. It's Turiometer Tuesday. That means it's a worryometer on Tuesday for alliteration purposes. Gio Gonzalez at Philadelphia later this week, and his last four starts, he's given up 17 earned runs and 14 and a third. He could not get out of the second inning. I think he pitched into the second inning yesterday, but I think he recorded any outs. So one inning, six runs for Gio at Tampa Bay. Heath, your turiometer on Gio.
I really thought when you said this first, it was turdiometer, and we were saying how much of a turd is this guy, and I liked that version of this game better.
I don't have that setting in my league, the turd version, I'm sorry.
Turiometer. I am slightly concerned with Gio Gonzalez. Like, there was a good portion of the season where you were asking us, why aren't you guys moving Gio Gonzalez higher?
I know.
And
I know.
At the time, you looked like it was a valid question.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily my opinion, but I did think it was a question that needed to be asked because he was a top 15.
Right, I wasn't saying you were wrong or anything.
Right, no, he was a top 15 pitcher last year, and he was, at that point, I believe, a top 15 pitcher this year, but it's almost like a year and a third of good luck has caught up to Gio Gonzalez in four starts. Hit him with the regression hammer or something.
I have him 38th in my rankings right now. I think that's the highest he's gotten all year. And I don't know, like, it's going to be more about somebody moving ahead of him than him necessarily moving down. I still think he's a guy that you're going to start more often than not. I don't know if it's with great confidence, but I'm going to be starting him.
Yeah, and he was 143rd in ADP. He was the 39th starting pitcher drafted. Even with these recent struggles, he's still been good. He's still, like, his ERA now mostly matches his peripherals. The whip's going to be a little high. He's not an ace, and nobody thinks he's an ace, and nobody had to pay an ace price to get him. So, like, I don't really, there's a little bit of regression to the mean that's happened, but for the most part, I don't think there's anything noteworthy going on with Gio Gonzalez, either before this run or now.
I think what Chris is trying to say is he was due for some really terrible.
Exactly, votes. Exactly.
Well, the stat that really concerns me is a 1.42 whip. And he does have a 4.1 walk rate, walks per nine, which is high, but 3.5 wouldn't be high, and that's still pretty high. That's what he's had in both in 2015 and 2017. But 1.42 whip is a little scary with Gio. And that's a guy, like, right now, I don't start him with confidence, but I guess I start Gio Gonzalez. We'll see how he does this weekend at Philadelphia. I want to. How you guys doing in fantasy? How's fantasy going? There was something I was thinking about yesterday, to how it's related to my fantasy season. How is 2018 going for you guys?
I was trying to wait to let Chris go first, so it didn't seem like I was eager to tell you how well I'm doing.
It's going pretty well. I've got some teams that are doing really well. I've got the Memorial Magazine Roto League. That's one of the worst teams that's ever been put together by any person. So, you know, these things happen. But, you know, I'm competitive in most of my leagues.
And let's see. The league where Chris put together the worst team ever, I believe I have a 24-point lead on second place.
No, really?
I have 104 standing points. I believe second's an 80.
When did you get 104 points?
Well, I've been in first almost the entire year.
But you were at like 92 or something the other day.
We've been a good week for, I think it was, anyway.
Yeah, no, good week last week.
I'm in first place or second place in a variety of leagues. I've got a couple of bad teams as well, mostly AL or NL only. For the People Podcast League, Chris and I are leading our division, but fourth place overall. So it's been a very good year. I'm fully expecting it's going to crash and burn in the second half.
No. All right. So here's what I'm having an average year. Average year. I don't have any Mike Trout, any Mookie Betts, any Jose Ramirez, any JD Martinez. And I think that's like, it's kind of what's my problem this year. I think it's been my first and second round picks. They've been very disappointing. I've got a lot of Rizzo, Chris Bryant, two leagues with Charlie Blackmon.
Adam.
Yeah.
You should have gotten the first pick more.
I do have one league with both Altuve and Arenado and Chris Sale. So that league, I'm hopeful of. It's a roto league, so I have to win it. I can't just make the playoffs.
And you've got a league with Paul Goldschmidt now.
I do have a league with Paul Goldschmidt. But yeah, I mean, like, if you didn't get one of those I don't know. I feel like...
See, I have a ton of Jose Berríos and Blake Snell.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, those breakouts, those mid-round breakouts can really win you a league for sure.
One thing that I was thinking about, with Gerrit Cole and Paul Goldschmidt in particular. I feel like Paul Goldschmidt's numbers mostly look like what we hoped they would. And Gerrit Cole's numbers mostly look like we hoped they would. But the story of their season has been so different that I feel like we're all much more positive about someone like Gerrit Cole than Paul Goldschmidt. I think that's just an interesting, like, I think most of the disappointing first round picks that you're talking about are probably going to end up about where we think they would have been. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a little lower, maybe a little higher.
Right. But they're not carrying your team like those elite guys are. And things could change. Right? You know, the second half could be a lot different, you know. Like, Charlie Blackmon has been bad, but he's not winning me a league.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Mookie Betts will probably have a month where he's not carrying your team.
I hope not.
So, why, you have a lot of bets?
I have a lot of Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I wish I did. I did make a trade for Mike Trout yesterday, which brings me to stat of the day. Mike Trout in his last 10 games... he is batting .414, but no extra base hits. No extra base hits for Mike Trout in his last 10 games. Why do I bring that up? Well, he's DH for 6 of those games. He's got that thumb issue, was it? It's a finger issue. I think it's a thumb. You guys, maybe not, but it's a digit. And is that a little concerning? Would you avoid trading for Mike Trout, which Scott and I did last night?
Sounds like a really good time to give up a first and third round pick for him.
Adam?
Yes.
I could not be less concerned about
Mike Trout. Yeah, me either. But he did have month, 2 years ago, he had that month of August, I think, where he was bad because he was playing hurt.
In the three games prior to this stretch, he had 5 extra base hits, including 4 home runs.
But it's all about the injury. That's what I'm saying.
I am not concerned about Mike Trout not being a good baseball player at all or not being the best baseball player. I think you could have a small level of concern that the finger is actually something he shouldn't be playing through. And it's going to hamper his performance until it heals.
He's still your number one overall player right now?
Yes. Like,
when did he injure his finger?
Well, all I know is he has DH 6 straight games. So, and he has no base hits 10 straight games. So I don't know exactly when it happened, but I know that's when they took him out of the field because of the finger. So the just something to chew on a little bit for Mike Trout. But we gave up Rhys Hoskins and Corey Kluber for Mike Trout. And now one more strategy talk. Like, I am tired in that categories league. I am sick and tired of losing to teams that punted starting pitcher. Did you guys punt starting pitcher?
No. We planned on it, and then too many other teams did.
I'm tired.
We punted relief pitcher.
It's a good strategy. I hate to say it, but it's a good strategy to win three of five categories with all closers, basically, in relievers. Closers or setup men. And I hate it. I think it's... like, I don't think it's, and there's anything wrong with it, but if I were setting up a league, I would have required starting pitcher and relief pitcher slots. I don't like the do whatever you want with all your pitching slots, but whatever, it's fine. You know, if that's the way you want to play, that's the way you want to play. It's not for me, but I think it's a good strategy. I'm tired of losing to teams like that, and I'm going to take that approach going forward. It just makes too much sense to spend your earlier picks on hitting and wait for relievers.
Heath, you know what the answer is?
What's the answer?
You need to put an innings max or innings minimum for this league now.
Why?
So now that Adam's pivoting. Yeah.
No, look, just because I have a problem with it doesn't mean you should change it. But if
there's
one thing
I like more than trolling Adam and Scott, and that's freedom.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just not the way baseball. It's why I hate two catcher leagues. It's like nobody starts two catchers
but,
in Major
But when
League
you
baseball.
Think about it, look at what the Rays are doing. The Dodgers have done a little bit this
Rays
year.
The Rays are the worst team. Not the worst team. The Rays are bad. The Rays are doing that because they have no good starting pitching.
Well, those teams that are doing that because they have no good starting
there's
pitching.
There's only one team
there's,
that's doing
there's
that.
There's no good starting pitching in fantasy baseball. We talk about
and the Rays
that.
Have Blake true. Snell and Chris Archer.
Yeah.
So they do have good starting pitching.
And they don't do that when those guys pitch. If they had a better team, they wouldn't take this ridiculous approach, which could never work for a good team.
They probably should do it with Blake Snell and Chris Archer.
Do what? Not start them? Do his bullpen days?
I mean, if the strategy is so smart.
It's such a terrible strategy. Anyway, SeatGeek is not terrible. We got an email about SeatGeek from Matt. I use SeatGeek to see Leonard Skinner this weekend, and I keep singing, ooh, Blake Snell. That's right. The Fantasy Baseball Today podcast is completely inside Matt's head. But SeatGeek is the app that got him to the Leonard Skinner concert. And if he used the code FANTASY, he got $20 off his first purchase. So the code is FANTASY on SeatGeek for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And look, SeatGeek, great. I use it all the time. Definitely, you know, I wanted to go to the Yankees-Red Sox game. Tickets they're starting at about $96 or something for the Yankees Red Sox. So I think I might pass, but Braves Yankees on July 4th, about $25 to get in. So I can use SeatGeek. I've already used the code FANTASY for $20 off. That's okay. I'm still going to save time and money because SeatGeek goes out and searches multiple ticket sites, brings in all the good deals, grades every ticket based on value, makes it really easy to see what your best bargain is. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for sports, concerts, comedy, and theater, and every purchase is fully guaranteed. And of course, you can get $20 off with the promo code FANTASY. $20 off, use that code FANTASY on the SeatGeek app. All right, we haven't talked much about yesterday, so let's get to it. First, a bunch of news and notes. Gary Sanchez is out 3 to 4 weeks, and I briefly mentioned it yesterday, but Austin Romine does have a nice slash line this year. Chris likes to say about players, if they played more, the numbers wouldn't be as good. That's probably the case with Romine. But, you know, catcher's really bad. Is Romine a worthwhile replacement?
Maybe in a two-catcher league.
He owns a bat, so he could be fantasy relevant.
Right, he does. But we're still looking at who? We're looking at, like, John Hicks.
Yeah, I'd prefer him, yeah.
Okay. Tom Murphy is 32% owned.
Absolutely, Tom Murphy over Austin Romine.
John Hicks is 67%.
Tom Murphy's probably the top target.
Yan Gomes, 59% owned. Tucker Barnhart's not terrible. He's 58% owned. I do think I'd probably go with Romine over Max Stassi. I don't think Stassi's playing all that much.
No, he hasn't been playing.
Yeah, so you might want to do that. And I might take Romine over McCann. I just don't know.
And I think
good.
Robinson Chirinos, who has been wildly disappointing this year, may be starting to heat back up and hit like we expected him to. And he's only 29% owned.
All righty. Mike Zunino's been bothered by a sore thumb, so he's been ice cold. JT Realmuto sat with a sore wrist. He's day-to-day. Start or sit Robbie Ray tomorrow at the Marlins?
Sit.
Start.
AJ Pollock has been cleared to resume baseball activity. Steven Souza DHing on a rehab assignment. Clay Buchholz is on the DL. A lot of Diamondbacks news. Ronald Acuna should be back this week. When he does come back, he will be batting lower in the order. I don't know exactly where, but they like Inciarte and Albies 1-2 in the order. And Inciarte actually hadn't really realized. He has turned it around a little. He's starting to hit again, and he's leading off. Autocorrect Mike Klinger left with cramps. That would be Mike Clevinger. We'll talk about him. Autocorrect Rangers outfielder Nomad Mazarin, or Nomar Mazara, left with hamstring tightness. They say it was very precautionary. He should be fine, Nomad Mazarin. Carlos Carrasco nearing a return. Clint Frazier was sent to AAA. Did you guys read the Yu Darvish story? Because I found it confusing. It was like he had a rehab start. He felt soreness in his triceps. And then they seemed to think like, eh, it's fine. But I was a little concerned when I saw that he had some soreness in the triceps, Yu Darvish.
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, they're going to reevaluate him today. I think the Cubs are on the road. He's supposed to meet them in L.A. and you know, be reevaluated. So we'll see. It might just be normal soreness, and he might just be you know, a really blunt person.
I did read a very good Yu Darvish story. That since he's been in the minor leagues, he's been buying expensive dinners for all of his teammates and the opposing team.
And the opposing team. Wow. That's very nice. Yep. Caleb Smith could be out for the season. He might have lat surgery. Brandon Morrow should be back tomorrow. Chris Bryant expected to sit today, but expected to avoid the DL. Chris Bryant. Boy, Adam Eaton. My goodness. We got to monitor this. He batted ninth and DH'd yesterday at Tampa Bay. And since coming off the DL, Eaton is batting .286, but he has one extra base hit and only two walks to nine strikeouts and no steals. Brandon Nimmo pinch ran. Chris Taylor pinch hit. Tommy Pham has flu-like symptoms. Jordan Lyles has shoulder inflammation. And George Springer was robbed of a home run. All right, been a little unconventional show. Who is a Monday standout? We usually start with this. Well, we're 22 minutes in. Who's a Monday standout? Chris, why don't you kick it off?
Let's talk about the guy who robbed George Springer of that home run. Randall Grichuk hit like a 470-foot bomb of his own. He's been awesome since coming off the – since coming back from the minors. Was he sent down or was he on the DL?
I think he was sent down. Oh, he was DL? My bad. All right, go on.
Whatever it was, he came back on June 1st, which is a nice – round number for us, and he is hitting .279 with a 1,000 OPS in 21 games during the month of June. He started 19 of those 21 games, and he has only struck out 13 times. This is the lowest 21-game stretch for a strikeout rate that Randall Grichuk has ever had in the majors. It's also probably like the third most productive stretch he's ever had in terms of WOBA. We liked him as a sleeper coming into the season. He was absolutely terrible in the month of April, but I'm not giving up on him. The talent is still there. He's still shown flashes of it, and we're seeing how good he can be right now when he's right.
Would you drop Adam Eaton for Randall Grichuk?
No.
Oof.
I might trade Adam Eaton for Johnny Cueto, though.
Oh, well, you just shut up already. Would you rather have you took too long.
No.
Would you rather
I don't know on that one. Probably not.
Jock Peterson or Randall Grichuk?
Peterson.
Probably Peterson, but I don't know, Randall Grichuk's probably gonna play more.
Yeah. I had a deep league segment and Grichuk was the headliner. So of these deep league hitters, is Grichuk far and away the best? Grichuk, Enrique Hernandez, who might get some more playing time. He's kind of earning it. And Steven Piscotty, who's actually having a very nice June himself. Before homering yesterday, he had about a 900 OPS, better than 900 OPS in June. Actually, so obviously we like Grichuk better than Enrique Hernandez, I'm going to assume. But what about Grichuk or Piscotty? Because they're both 22% owned. I think they're both pretty interesting.
I liked both a lot as sleepers coming into the season. I think both are still very talented. I think Grichuk probably has more upside. And when you're talking about someone in the kind of leagues that these two would be added in right now, I think I would go with the upside for Grichuk.
Heath, Grichuk, or Piscotty?
I'll say Grichuk because of upside.
Okay. Yeah, and Piscotty, I think, was like a top 30 outfielder a couple of years ago. We know that he dealt with an awful off-field situation with his mother having ALS, and you hope that he has some peace now. He's had a very, very good June for Stephen Piscotty. So those are two guys you could look at in deeper leagues, Grichuk and Piscotty, 22% owned. Heath, Monday standout.
Let's talk a little bit about Bad Brad Keller. Starting pitcher for the Kansas City Royals, held the Angels to 0 runs over 7 innings. And he has slowly worked his way into the rotation, made his first start almost a month ago against the Twins and just went 3 innings. But his last 4 starts, he's faced the Angels twice. He's faced the Astros once. He's faced the Athletic once. He has not had a bad start yet. He is 22 years old. He is SPARP eligible. The swinging strikes and the strikeouts are not there, but they've been a little better as of late. So he's a deep league guy and somebody to watch to see if he develops a little bit more as far as swing and miss stuff.
Brad Keller. He has 7 strikeouts in his last 13 innings.
Well, he had 6 yesterday, so.
Yeah, that tells you how many he had the previous game.
Brad Keller's 5% owned. So is John Gant. Who would you rather have, Gant or Keller?
Is Gant SPARP eligible?
Actually, that's a good question. He might be. But let's just take that out of the equation.
Gant had like a 30 homer, 20 steal season in the 90s, right?
That'd be pretty valuable. John Gant.
I don't know that there's as much of a chance for John Gant to stay in the rotation.
John Gant is only RP eligible. So.
I would say on a start-by-start basis, I'd rather have John Gant, but in a deep league, you're looking for a guy that's going to stick, and I think Keller will.
Okay. And can we just eliminate Edwin Jackson from consideration? We don't care about him, right?
Amazing that he's still there.
He was throwing harder yesterday, I think, than he did last year, which is incredible.
I had the most brilliant joke in my mind and I forgot to cue it up. So now I'm just going to tell you what it was. I was going to say, Edwin Jackson's start yesterday makes me less excited about Shane Bieber. And then I was going to play a clip from the Bieber song of Bieber going, "What do you mean?" And then I was going to go, "Okay, I'll tell you what I mean." And then I'm going to say, "Everybody dominates against Detroit," which is what Edwin Jackson did yesterday. And that's what Shane Bieber did over the weekend. It was going to be so classic. It was going to be one of my best. Oh, man, what a shame. But yeah.
So I guess you could say you really love yourself.
Yeah, I do. Yep. Thank you. Yeah. Boy, I hate that song, by the way.
That's a good song.
Love Yourself? No, it's not.
That's a good song.
Sorry Slaps. Is an okay song. Love Yourself is the most boring song.
Oh. Guys,
Biebs has some bangers.
Can we not do this?
All right, my standout is actually owned in a lot of leagues, and he's Shin-Soo Choo. He's got a 38-game on-base streak. And in that 38-game on-base streak, he's batting .336 with a .415 BABIP, but also a .244 ISO. He's got 8 doubles and 9 homers in those 38 games. Shin-Soo Choo is the number 10 outfielder in points and number 17 in roto. Heath, how do you rank Shin-Soo Choo and his 38-game on-base streak?
As it seems like we always do, I rank him lower than I should. I'm trying to pull up where I actually have because I haven't moved him. And I've actually I left him on the bench in a points league this week, which is very disappointing. But he is right around number 40 in points leagues in the Ender Inciarte Brandon Belt range in the outfield.
And he was, in points leagues, he was 26th last year. He played 149 games. Chu was 26th in points, 31st in roto. Now, roto, I say roto, that's 5x5, that's batting average, not OBP. Playing an OBP league, he's going to be better. He walks a ton. Would you rather have, let's say, Teoscar Hernandez or Shin-Soo Choo?
Choo.
Yeah, Choo.
Brandon Nimmo or Shin-Soo Choo?
Nimmo.
I've got Choo higher in points, Nimmo and roto.
Are we at all concerned about Nimmo and his rising strikeouts?
Yes.
A little bit, but I don't know. He looks pretty good.
Okay. And I think it's like also like a lowering walk rate. feel like he was such a plate discipline guy. He hasn't been that at all.
Yeah, and in the month of June, I think he's got like a 30% strikeout rate and an 8% walk rate. But like the total package tells us that he should walk more than that. He might strike out a lot just because he's patient, and that happens to patient hitters. But I think the skill set is really good.
All right, we got a lot more from yesterday to get to, and we have Grade the Trade. And we have a bunch of emails that I want to read at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I do apologize. I messed up yesterday. I was planning on playing the night slate on draft, and there wasn't one, I don't believe. I don't think there were enough games late enough. So I got there too late to set up a draft, did not get to play on draft. I am still riding a two-day winning streak, and we're going to put that on the line tonight. So we want you to get on the draft app and use the promo code FBtoday. FBtoday. Search draft in your app store or go to draft.com. And again, the promo code is FBtoday. What happens when you use that code? You get a free entry into a real money draft, and you'll automatically be following me. I am Big Kane 2, and I am the destroyer of you on draft. I will take your money, or you'll probably take mine. But anyway, you can play for as little as a buck. The drafts are really fun. You draft two infielders, two outfielders, and a pitcher. You can do expert mode, and you can remove a lot of the players from the pool and make it a little bit more difficult. You can do a small draft one-on-one, like me and Heath and me and Chris. You can do a three-person, four-person, five-person, and up draft. They're quick, they're fun, they're easy. It's just a really cool way to play more fantasy baseball. So download the Draft app or go to draft.com and use the code FBtoday. I promise you, the listeners who have gotten back to me about it have had great things to say. So if you haven't tried it, try it now with the code FBtoday. All right, 8 emails in 4 minutes. Should I drop Josh Hader for Kyle Bearclaw or Ryan Tepera in a 12-team points league? This is from Matt.
You have to have a worse pitcher than Josh Hader.
I'm going to say that Josh Hader right now is fairly useless in points leagues since Knebel got back. Just, I wanted to point that out. He's not going 2 innings that often anymore. He has 1 save and 1 win in his last 12 appearances since Knebel came back. That save was in his very first of those 12 appearances. So he's much more of a conventional middle reliever now.
Yeah. In points leagues, you can probably drop him. In Roto, I think he's still too valuable. He still has 34 strikeouts in that span.
Yeah. Yeah, and a 0.51 ERA. So that's Josh Hader, 82% owned. All right, Robert Galvin from Fullerton, California. Hey, Roto categories and points. Would you guys prefer, in a points league, Samardzija or Stroman? And would you drop Gausman for either of them, Samardzija or Stroman?
I think I'd probably go Stroman.
Yeah. That's tough, because I think there's a lot of similarities between the two of them. They're both coming off of injuries.
I think they're very different pitchers. I think the end result is probably going to be about the same. I feel a little more confident in Stroman getting there.
Yeah, I'll agree.
They're similar in that we like them for their innings. What they do in those innings is different. Yeah. All right.
Well, Stroman doesn't get many strikeouts. Samardzija gets a ton, but you expect a mid to high 3 ERA for both.
Would you, so how would you rank Stroman, Samardzija, Gausman?
Probably Stroman, Samardzija, Gausman.
Stroman, Gausman, Samardzija.
This is Nate from Philly. Dear Papa, Jokey, Sloppy, and Chef.
No idea.
Yep, no idea. Rest of season in a Roto league, Aguilar or Sano? First
Aguilar.
Base.
The guy who's in the majors.
Yeah. Papa, Jokey, Sloppy, and Chef. I will look into that. This is from Kurt. Would you drop Vince Velasquez for Marcus Stroman?
It depends on what I'm looking for my pitching staff. If I need a little bit of stability, I might do it. But I think Velasquez has more upside, especially with the strikeouts.
Yeah, I think I'd do it.
Pretty nice start from Velasquez yesterday with 4 walks, I believe, but pitched well against the Yankees. Adam from a small lake town west of Cleveland. I don't know what a sloppy chef is.
They are Smurf characters.
Oh, they are?
They are various Smurfs.
Oh, okay. From Adam, he says, hey, Gapper, Rosie, and Red.
No idea.
Yep, these are tough ones today. 12-team categories league. Who do I drop to make room for Foltynewicz? Godley, Rodon, Bieber, Stroman, Maeda, or Ian Desmond? Godley, Rodon, Bieber, Stroman, Maeda, or Ian Desmond?
Desmond.
Yeah, like that's. I think he will be the worst moving forward. The problem with Desmond, he has a lot of regression coming. It doesn't always come in the same season.
And Desmond, okay, if Desmond's the answer, by the way, those are Red's mascots, Gapper, Rosie, and Red. All right, let's move on. Mark wants to know if he should drop Domingo Herman for Shane Bieber, or he could drop Freddy Peralta or Nick Pivetta.
I think that's fine. I think Scott actually has an article going up very soon talking about those two guys and Freddy Peralta and maybe one other pitcher. I'm not sure. But it sounded like when I was talking to him last night, he was highest on Bieber. So I'll just speak for Scott and avoid answering the question for myself.
I agree.
Highest on Bieber. Okay, and just want to say with Herman, I really don't think the Yankees want him in their rotation after the trade deadline in July. So I don't know how. Look, I don't think with these guys you care about that. You're going to take what you can get now. But it's
right.
Something to keep
in
mind.
Any of these guys might not be in your rotation by the All-Star break.
Yeah. Wyatt from San Francisco, but still go Dodgers. Hey, Wacko, Yakko, and Dot.
That's the Warner brothers and their Warner sister, Dot.
Isn't that just the Animaniacs or no?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I was quoting the song, Adam.
Really? My bad. Is it wrong to punt catchers in a 12-team league or greater? If you're not rostering a top five catcher, doesn't it make more sense to use the roster spot on a starter and leave catcher blank?
No, probably not.
I think because in a two-catcher league, punting your second catcher could make sense.
The thing is, there's only one rate stat in hitter. So even if it's a bad hitter, they're still contributing something.
And I think in a two-catcher league, you should punt that league and join a one-catcher league. And Tim from Albuquerque says, hey, Eaton, Kingery, Hembry, and Davis. That would be Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris. Eaton, Kingery, Hembry, and Davis. I'm looking at your rankings. I'm seeing Alex Wood ranked below Luis Castillo. What's up with that? Chris, Heath, by the way, has Alex Wood one spot ahead of Luis Castillo. Scott has Castillo
Boom.
Ahead of Wood.
Yeah, Scott has disavowed Alex Wood and any interest that he may have had at one point in Alex Wood.
Can I tell you, Scott, I am so mad at Scott because he, in the scam league, he started a two-start Frankie Montas over a one-start Alex Wood, and I IM'd him about it, and then he started typing, and then he just stopped typing, and he never responded, and he just let it die. And the A's had the early game, so the lineup's locked. And he better be right about two-star Montas over a one-star Alex Wood. I think it was a big mistake. I'm actively rooting against our team now so I can shove it in Scott's face.
I love the problems that you have on that team.
I hate our team. But we have Trout now.
So back to the actual question.
Yeah,
Castillo has more upside than Alex Wood. Alex Wood is both a safe and a risky player because of his injury history. I think he's probably just had some bad luck this season. The peripherals suggest that he's pitched a lot better than Luis Castillo this season. I think they're both pretty close, though. It just depends on what you're going for.
Okay. I don't really know what the beef is with Alex Wood. I mean, he's had a couple of bad starts that have really skewed his ERA.
I think he's not pitching deep into games.
No, he's not. But one of the starts was at Colorado. One of the starts was after food poisoning. And one start was a home start against San Diego, which was a terrible start. I get that. But I have mostly confidence in Alex Wood. Not like a ton of confidence, but I have some confidence. All right, let's get into the double dongers from yesterday. Wilson Ramos and Curtis Granderson. Ramos is the number 6 catcher in points, number 3 in Roto. And Granderson is crushing righties. He has an 890 OPS against righties, but only 17 at-bats against lefties this season. Granderson's 8% owned. Heath, do you have anything interesting to say about Wilson Ramos and or Curtis Granderson?
Wilson Ramos might have been our second best call of the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
You said Blake Snell was our best call of the preseason. He's been really good. And at a position where, like, we're devoid of bets, he's been a very steady one.
I've put in the notes that he's batting 293, but I think he's batting 239. Am I right about that?
Which time?
This, what is Wilson? He's batting, oh no, he is batting 293. He has 239 at bats. How about that? Ramos has played the exact same amount of games as he played last year. His batting average is 33 points higher. His OBP is 50 points higher. He has the same amount of home runs.
He's really good. A little bit
skewed because last year he got off to such a bad start because he was coming off, was it ACL surgery? And yes, yeah, then he got hot late. Granderson, Heath, or Chris, any interest in Granderson? 8% owned?
He's owned in probably every single AL-only league.
I think in a...
Probably as he should be.
I think in a categories league with daily lineups, he is somebody that you can have on your bench just to insert against right-handed pitchers.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Now, I'm sure the OPS against righties has gone up dramatically the last 2 days. He has 3 home runs. But I also think he leads off a lot, Curtis Granderson. So
yes.
Yeah. All right, this category is called Are They Studs? I'm going to give you a starting pitcher, and you tell me if they're studs. Not at the Sale level. Not even at the Berríos, Bauer, Snell level. But not far back, I guess. Kenta Maeda. Is he a stud?
No. His inability to stay healthy and consistently pitch deep into games, it prevents him from being a stud. He's a very good starting pitcher that you should start regularly when he's available.
Jay Happ.
And he has been going deep into games more often this season, but still not consistently.
Jay Happ. There's our next guy. Jay Happ, is he a stud?
I've been barred from talking about Jay Happ, so Chris will have to handle this one.
No. Jay Happ is not a stud. He is instead a good, useful pitcher who was, I think it's safe to say, wildly undervalued coming into the season.
Mm-hmm. Jay Happ, okay. And he's got Detroit this weekend, so that'll be a no-hitter. Mike Clevinger, is he a stud? Mike Clevinger.
No. Again, he's not a stud. He's a very good pitcher. And I think he's better than the first two guys mentioned here.
He is a borderline stud. He's right in that area of what do you consider, how far down in the rankings do you consider a stud? Like he's not in the same category as Berríos, Corbin, Bauer, Snell, but he's not too far behind them.
Clevinger. Yeah, see, you want to talk about starting with confidence. I wish I owned Clevinger. I don't, but I would always feel confident that he's going to give me a good start. Strikeouts are interesting for him because, you know, he's had only 3 starts in his last 9 in which he's averaged a K per inning or better. And all 3 were against the White Sox and they have the third most strikeouts per game. However, most of the other opponents in that 9-game stretch are low K teams. Like the Astros, the Twins, the Tigers, the only exception would be the team he faced last night, which was the Cardinals. He struck out 4 in 5 innings. So I don't know what to expect with strikeouts for Clevinger. He's got 94 in 104 innings. But the rest is really good. Good whip, good ERA, should win some games. So whatevs. Cole Hamels, is he a stud?
Oh, God, no. No, he has a 490 Sierra. He has a 523 FIP. Part of that's a slightly inflated home run to fly ball rate, but...
Not slightly. That's a very inflated.
21%, but 1.85 per nine. But even XFIP, which normalizes home run to fly ball rate to 10%, he still has a 414 XFIP. So even the most generous of the defense-independent pitching stats... says that he's still below average.
Cole Hamels. All right, Heath, you agree?
Yeah, he's not a stud. I think Chris may have been a little bit hard on him, but I am not confident in him moving forward. I was hoping if he would have a really good start against the Padres, so he'd be an excellent sell-high candidate, but I don't have much confidence. He should be a fine starting pitcher the rest of the year.
Mike Foltynewicz, is he a stud?
I'm going to say no.
No, I don't think so.
I think innings are holding him back. Foltynewicz, last night notwithstanding, you know, first start off the DL. only two starts all year of more than six innings, only five starts of six or more. So he's had three starts of six innings. He's had two starts of more than six innings. Do you trust Foltynewicz to be at least pretty darn good rest of season?
I expect him to be the worst of the pitchers that we've talked about so far this year. And his peripherals do look a little bit better than some of the guys we've talked about, but I don't buy it.
I think Cole Hamels will be significantly worse than Foltynewicz, but I think he's probably more like Kenta Maeda than what he's been so far.
To refresh your memory, we've talked about Maeda, Happ, Clevinger, Hamels, Folty, and now Jameson Taillon. Is he a stud? No.
You should have mixed in a stud or two so we could have said yes to one of these guys.
Well, you said yes to Clevinger, basically.
No, he's not a stud. But I mean, there's a little bit of confirmation bias at play because I liked him coming into the season. But also, he introduced that slider on May 27th against the Cardinals. He had thrown it like four times in his previous two starts combined. He threw it 30 times on May 27th. Since then, he's made six starts. He's averaged more than six innings per start. He's gone at least six in four of those six. He has a 3.13 ERA with 35 strikeouts and nine walks and 37 in the third innings. His swing strike rate is up a couple of ticks.
Not that good, though. Not that good.
It's not great, but it's like 10.5% as opposed to 9% what it was before.
Yeah.
I think
he's a borderline
number three. I think he's probably better than Foltynewicz moving forward based on what we've seen since he introduced the slider.
He is my I rank him second amongst all the guys we've talked about behind only Clevinger, but he's still closer for me to Maeda and Happ than he is to Clevinger.
Okay, last one's fun. This guy might be a stud. I'm gonna Tyler Skaggs. 2.69 ERA, 94 strikeouts in 87 innings. A somewhat elevated whip. He gets a lot of ground balls. 1.23 whip. He's been on fire lately. And he's got a 3.13 BABIP. A pretty high strand rate, though, 82.4%. Tyler Skaggs, is he a stud?
I would have said, without looking, that he's not a stud because he's still not going to pitch more than once a week. But if he's gone seven innings in each of his last three starts, if he's going seven innings per start, then he can be a stud once per week.
He's gone seven innings in three straight starts?
Yeah.
Yes. That's amazing because he's still averaging below six innings per start.
Yeah, it's not going to keep up. So I think he's
right in that range. I don't think he's a stud. I don't think he's probably as good as Mike Clevinger. But I feel confident starting Maeda, Happ, Foltynewicz, Taillon, and Skaggs.
The best sell high on this list would be Cole Hamels?
Yes.
Okay. Fringy starting pitchers, who do you want? Shelby Miller, Joey Lucchesi, Tyler Malley, Seth Lugo, Felix Hernandez, Vince Velasquez, Jonathan Loaisiga. Again, we got Shelby Miller, Joey Lucchesi, Tyler Malley, Seth Lugo, Felix Hernandez, Vince Velasquez, Jonathan Loaisiga.
Vince Velasquez is in a class of his own in this group, I think. I think he's... I don't know if he's legitimately good, but there is much more skill here with him than there is with anybody else. We've seen legitimate flashes of greatness from him. I think his peripherals suggest that he should be more like a mid-3 ERA guy. 3.56 Sierra, 3.87 FIP. He's definitely the one of this group that needs to be owned more than he is.
This is three good starts in a row for Felix. Four of his last five have been good starts, and they've come two of those at New York and against the Boston Red Sox. Felix is a guy that I'm going to be moving. I'd still much rather have Vince Velasquez than Felix, but he is a guy that's going to be moving up in my rankings this week. And he looks like he's having a little bit of a resurgence.
I mean, this wasn't that good of a start, though. I thought he'd be a lot better than this at Baltimore.
It was a quality start.
It was. Kansas City this weekend, so that's another good matchup for Felix. And Shelby Miller, I think 46% owns a little ambitious. Like, we got to see more from Shelby Miller.
You got to see something.
Yeah. Loaisiga, very good start. I mean, he was excellent yesterday. Curveball was just terrific. Lined up to face Boston this weekend. I still suspect that they might skip him to Monday. But Tanaka's making progress, so I don't think Loaizaga's in the rotation for much longer. In the bullpen, we got Zach Britton, Sungwan Oh. Okay, Britton has pitched 3 of the last 4 days. Appears like he's the closer. Sungwan Oh got a save, but Clifford and Tapera were probably unavailable. They had both pitched on Saturday and Sunday. Shane Green was bad again. I don't see him losing that job. Willy Peralta got a save, and A.J. Minter was used in a tie game in the ninth inning at home, so used as a closer for the second straight game without getting a save. But Willy Peralta, does anyone care about the Royals' bullpen?
No.
No.
All right, it's time for Team Name Tuesday. Then we'll grade trades, and then we'll get out of here. Team Name Tuesday, quick one, the Vadoman Empire.
I like it, sure.
Yeah, I like that. I think it would be a good one in a keeper league. Or Dynasty. Andy has a whole bunch of Shane Bieber team names. They're all about the name Shane. In Shane in the Membrane, the Old yep. Ball in Shane, mm-hmm. Shane and a Haircut, Unshained Melody.
Very good.
Ain't That a Shane? The In Shane Clown Posse.
Very good.
And Shane, Shane, Shane. Like Shame, Shame, Shane, Shane, Shane.
In Shane in the Membrane is my favorite. The In Shane Clown Posse is my second.
In Shane Clown Posse is very good.
I like Unshained Melody. I also would nominate Shane of Fools. Shane of Fools would be good. And finally, A Domingo Ate My Baby.
Yes.
I think we've had that before, but it's a good one. I wanted to talk about Ozzie Albies. I wanted to talk about Didi. I wanted to talk about Whit Merrifield. Maybe that will be saved till tomorrow. I'm actually off tomorrow, so that's up to Chris. Let's talk about Sting. Or the Police, I guess. He said teacher. It counts. Grade the trade from Jordan. 12-team head-to-head categories league. Give you Darvish. Get Joey Gallo. Give Darvish, get Gallo.
Probably like a C-.
Yeah, I don't like it. From Jeff, categories league, 10 teams. Give Trey Turner and Scooter Jeanette. Ooh. Turner and Jeanette get Correa and Syndergaard in a categories league.
Probably depends on what your team looks like, but I think that's C+. It seems fair to me.
I'll go B-.
I already traded for Syndergaard about a month ago when I thought he was coming back. So
never mind. It was a D. Because Adam's injured players stay injured.
I'm just saying that. Oh, right. Yeah, they do. It's actually a good point. I'm just saying that, like, I don't trust Syndergaard to come back. I think he's going to be back fairly soon, in a week or two. But it's tough to trust it. That's all I'm saying. All right. From Chris, this emails, this grade the trade is from a different Chris. Give up Anthony Rizzo and Sean Newcomb. Get Jose Ramirez in an 8-team 5x5 head-to-head league. Anthony Rizzo and Sean Newcomb for Jose Ramirez.
A.
Yeah, I think there's a chance Sean Newcomb won't be useful in that league.
Yeah, 8 teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he'll be useful but replaceable.
Right. And wow, Ramirez is like genuinely way ahead of Rizzo, right? Way ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah. This is from, no name. Dear Sam Jackson, Jonathan Banks, and Holly Hunter. Grade the trade. Yeah, we should know this, I feel. 12-team Roto OBP. Give Gattis and Baez. Get Votto.
Gattis. Those are the Incredibles, I believe.
Okay. Gattis and Baez for Votto. He already has Grandal.
It's an OBP league as well. I think that's an A.
It's a good
I'll
one.
Give it an A.
From JT, Adir Juan, Ross, and Travis. Are those the Incredibles too? Juan, Ross, and Travis. I don't know who they are.
Those are not the Incredibles.
Give up Tim Anderson and Evan Gattis. Get Johan Camargo and DJ LeMahieu. I already have JT Realmuto. So he has Realmuto. He gives up Gattis and Anderson. Tim Anderson. He gets LeMahieu and Camargo.
And it is a points league.
Yeah, 14 teams.
Yeah, like, I don't think Tim Anderson's a starter in a 14-team points league. Evan Gattis isn't a starter for you. Yeah, I think that's fine. I think that's a B-.
I will say it's a C plus.
Okay, and Kenny is in a dynasty league. Give up Jose Quintana. Give up Quintana, get Beltre. And to sum it up, he has good pitching depth. He has terrible third baseman. So this is a dynasty league, but he's giving up Quintana for Beltre.
I think he has terrible third baseman.
I think third basemen have been better than Adrian Beltre.
Yeah, and I don't think
they're not terrible.
Eduardo Escobar, yeah. Brian Anderson, Kyle Seager, and Ryan Healy. I don't think all of those guys will be better than Adrian Beltre.
That's my bad.
But
they're not bad. They're not terrible.
I think there's a chance I think there's a pretty good chance Kyle Seager will be better than Adrian Beltre. So I don't think you needed that upgrade, and I'm not sure it's an upgrade. So I think that's a D.
D minus.
All right.
We have one more trade to grade.
Okay.
It's the For the People Podcast League trade for Mike Trout.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you've got to present it. It's your trade.
I traded Corey Kluber and Reese Hoskins for Michael Trout.
Seems fine.
I think this is a C minus slash D plus only because of the league specifics. In a 12 team league, I'd probably give you a C plus or a B minus, but in this league, a 16 team league with our roster construction, extra bench spots, I think you gave up a little bit too much.
Yeah, but I have Greg Bird on the bench, so now I get to start him.
F.
well, in that case.
Yeah, it's an F. By the way, deep sleeper for you, AL only, Brandon Drury. Brandon Drury could take that job from Greg Bird.
Tyler Austin.
No, he's not good.
Ronald Torres.
Torres? No, absolutely not.
Do we have any other? Clint Frazier could be back soon.
No, I'm telling you.
Austin Romine.
All right, today's matchups. Max Scherzer. By the way, who are Monday's standouts, guys? Let's go with a 5% Owen Royals pitcher as the standout.
Apologize for trying to service our team.
No.
A 5% Royals pitcher who has like 9 strikeouts in his life.
I apologize to the deep league customers for trying to serve.
I gave an AL only sleeper. I gave an AL only sleeper, Brandon Drury. Max Scherzer, yes. How about Nate Eovaldi against the Nationals? I'm going to say no. Luis Severino, yes. How about Jake Arrieta against the Yankees?
I wouldn't feel great about it.
I'm probably starting him.
James Paxton, yes. Kevin Gausman against the Mariners.
Yes.
Pirates at Mets. Yeah. Chad Kuhl, Steven Matz.
I could see Matz having a good start, but I think the wheels are going to fall off at some point for him.
I think I'd rather start Kuhl.
Frankie Montas at Blaine Hardy.
Well, you're starting Frankie Montas.
I
would probably prefer. I mean, Montas could Tigers. Have a good start. The Tigers are terrible.
Yeah, he could be good here.
Yeah.
Zach Godley at Eliezer Hernandez.
Start Godley.
Godley.
John Lamb at David Price.
David Price.
Yep.
Matt Harvey at Anibal Sanchez. Matt Harvey at Anibal Sanchez.
I would rather start Anibal Sanchez than Matt Harvey.
But I would rather start neither. Yeah. Tyson Ross at Austin Beavens Dirks.
Start Ross.
Tyson Ross.
Jake Junis at Freddy Peralta.
Start Peralta.
Yeah.
I have no idea who Ryan Barucki is. Barucki?
I actually am really interested in Ryan Barucki.
Really?
I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name, but he has been very good in the minors. I think the scouting report on him is kind of a Joey Lucchese type, or maybe an Alex Wood type, but in 83 career innings at AAA, he has a 3.04 ERA. He had a big strikeout rate last year at AA, so I'm interested in.
And this is what I was saying about the For the People League. Chris said he was very interested. We have plenty of players we could drop on our bench. I went to add him. He's already owned in that league.
And by the way, want to be clear. Not starting him against the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
But I want to watch him pitch. I'll probably tune into that game.
Twins at White Sox, Lance Lynn at Ronaldo Lopez.
No. Maybe. I mean, Lance Lynn could be good.
I'll start Lynn.
Yeah.
Corey Kluber at Carlos Martinez.
I know everyone's freaking out about Carlos Martinez, but I'm starting him.
Oh, I sat him this week.
I would start him for like a... I think I'd start him.
John Lester at Ross Stripling. Yep, we'll start him.
Yep.
Chad Bettis at Derek Holland.
Nope.
Nope.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Chris is taking over tomorrow. It's a Chris show. Chris and Scott. It's a crop show. See you later.